Thanks for checking out this podcast from Christ Church of Ornogo. Our hope is that it helps you discover completeness in Jesus. Now for this week's teaching.
Guys, it was just over a year ago that I was in Colorado, and let me tell you right now, I loved it. I love hiking, I love mountains, and I love when a place that I go has good weather, and it gave me all of it, okay? And let me tell you this, on the last night that I was there, I was talking to a friend of mine, we'll just call him Drake, the high school pastor, and we were talking and we said, you know what would be fun? To go on a sunrise hike. Sunrise hike. So we wanted to get up super early in the morning while it was still dark and be up on top of a mountain by the time the sun was rising. We thought that would be very cool. But here was the problem. We did not know how to get to the top of the mountain. We had no idea. We didn't know the trails or anything like that. And so we needed help. So we go to this other guy named Mike and we say, Mike, we wanted you to take us on a hike. And we rhymed the whole thing. And he said, of course, I would love to do that. And so we make a plan to get up super early the next morning and go hiking. So the next morning at like 4 a.m., which is so early and so still nighttime, I get up, I get my backpack, I get my water bottle, I get my coat, and I get my headlamp because it was still very dark outside. And I meet up with Drake and Mike and we get going on our hike. That's gonna rhyme again, probably. And it wasn't long into the hike that Drake and I realized this is gonna be a little bit more intense than we had thought. Because Mike was one of those guys that just kind of wanted to go his own way. He was just going. Now we trusted Mike and we knew that he was gonna get us to the top, but we thought, oh boy, this is gonna be a little bit intense. There wasn't much of a trail, and even if there was one, we couldn't really see it because it was pretty dark. And sometimes you'll see pictures of people hiking on like social media or on TV, and they're like smiling and they're laughing and they're like, haha, this is amazing. And they're like posting selfies. They're like, I love hiking, right? That was not us. We looked more like a bunch of little hungry squirrels that have seen too much, crawling through all of these bushes and dead trees. And we had scratches all over our arms and legs because I wore shorts like a dummy. And boy, it was a long trek. But after this long trek, we finally made it to the top. After a lot of stops for water and a few scary moments, we finally made it to the top. And I'll tell you, it was beautiful. I loved it. It was one of the coolest things that I have ever seen. It was an incredible hike, and we needed Mike's help. We needed him to guide us. He knew how to get there. And in order to get there, we needed to walk as Mike walked. We needed to walk on the path that he gave us. And so through all of the trees and all of the dead bushes that we had to climb through, through the rock that looked like a hamburger that I had to crawl through, and I was afraid that the top bun of the hamburger rock would crush me, through there, through the steep rock, the rock face that I was a little too steep for comfort, in all of it, I had to trust that Mike was going to lead us there, and I needed to walk as he walked. Now, why do I tell you this? Because tonight, we are talking about how his followers of Jesus, as Christians, we are called to walk as Jesus walked. We are called to walk in the truth of the gospel. What's the gospel, you say? Well, the gospel is the good news that God came down, that he put on a human body, that he died for us, that he rose again so that all people could experience freedom and hope and eternal life in the name of Jesus. And we're going to look at two different parts of a story about Peter and how Peter, in one part of the story, was doing this really well. He was walking in the truth of the gospel, doing great. And in another part, not so much. He was not walking in the gospel. So when Peter's going to learn that part of the great news of the gospel is that it's for everyone, for people, all people, regardless of their skin color or their culture or their ethnicity or their interests or their language, all people are included in the sacrifice of Jesus. And Peter is going to see that in some big ways. So let's jump in, and I think that might help you see it too. So not long after Jesus ascended to heaven, The church is starting and it is exploding. People are getting baptized. People are making disciples. People are hearing about the good news of Jesus, and it's amazing. And Peter is one of the leaders of the church because he was one of the Jesus' closest disciples, and he's doing great generally. And in Acts chapter 10, we find that Peter is up on a roof and he's praying. And while he is praying, God gives him a vision. And in this vision, Peter sees something like a big bedsheet coming down from heaven, and in this bedsheet are all kinds of different animals, all sorts of different animals. And Peter hears a voice, and this voice says to Peter, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." So Peter is like, what? Because here's the thing. A lot of the animals that Peter saw in this bedsheet thing were animals that he, as a Jewish person, was not supposed to eat. Since the Old Testament, there were Jewish laws that God gave the Jewish people that were particularly about food, that God gave them so that they would be distinct, would be separate, different than the nations around them that did not worship God. And so Peter's like, I think this is a test. Guys, if you're talking, let's look up here. Ladies, thank you. Peter thinks this is a test. He's like, no, you're not gonna get me, God. You're not getting me. This is unclean. I'm not supposed to eat this stuff, God. But then this voice says back to him, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. And so Peter comes out of this vision and he's confused. He's like, wait, you're telling me that I can have bacon now? What's this news? And all of a sudden, right as he's thinking that, he hears a knock on the door. And it's these guys sent from a Roman Italian guy named Cornelius. And Cornelius is not a Jew. He is a Gentile, which means a non-Jewish person. And so he has sent to go and get Peter. Peter doesn't know why, but he goes with them back to Cornelius' house. And this is what we read happens in Acts chapter 10. It says this, as Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said, I am only a man myself. While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So he says, okay, up until this point, I was not allowed to enter into a place like this because you guys are not Jewish and that means you're unclean. And so I shouldn't be in here. I'd be breaking Jewish law. But God has made it clear to me that I shouldn't call anything impure or unclean. God has made it clear to me that things have changed. And so Peter gets it. He understands that the animals just represented something much bigger that Jesus had done through his sacrifice. He sees that things that were once separated, whether it was people or food or animals, have now been brought together and united through the work of Jesus on the cross and Jesus fulfilling all of that Old Testament law. And so Peter walks on into Cornelius' house and he tells him the good news. He says, guys, you are never gonna believe about Jesus. He tells him who Jesus is and what Jesus did and the freedom and the life that can be found in Jesus. And they hear the good news and then they all believe and are baptized right there. Boom. And just like that, the first ever non-Jewish people hear the good news of Jesus, and it is amazing. Peter is so excited. He can't believe it. So he's so excited, he has to tell everybody else. So he goes to Jerusalem, where these other Jews are. And he's like, he's so excited. He's like, guys, I cannot wait to tell you about all the bacon that we are about to eat. This is gonna be so good. And he tells them that this is amazing. It's not just Jews, it's Gentiles too. That we're gonna blow the door off this mission. We're gonna tell everybody. And instead of being met with excitement and joy, he's met with doubt and confusion. In judgment, they look at him and they're like, wait. You went where? You were with who? You were with those people? The Gentiles? And so Peter's like, okay, I get it. I hear you. Let me explain. So he tells him about the vision and Cornelius and everything. And then they kind of get it, but not really. They really struggle with this idea that Jesus isn't just for people that look like them. They really struggle with this idea that maybe Jesus is for other people. Because up until now, they had thought Jesus is only for people who look like me, talk like me, think like me. And sorry, but if you don't fit in here, then maybe you should just go. This is not for you. They struggle with this idea that Jesus could really be for everyone. Peter himself, a few years later, he begins to struggle with it too. He begins to forget that Jesus is really for everybody. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul tells about this story that happens between him and Peter, and when Peter forgets this in a really big way. This is what Paul says in Galatians chapter 2. Note, you'll say that name Cephas, that's Peter. Same name, different language. So that's Peter. So Paul's writing and he says, "But when Cephas, Peter, came to Antioch, that's a city, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and he separated himself, fearing the circumcision party, fearing the Jews. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, 'If you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews?'" Okay, so Peter, he's eating with the Gentiles, he's hanging out with the Gentiles, he's being their friend, he's discipling them, they're talking about Jesus, and it's great. And then all of a sudden, these other Jews show up from Jerusalem. And Peter pretends like he was never hanging out with the Gentiles. He's like, "Oh, what are those guys doing over there?" He dips out because he doesn't want to be seen with those people when his own people show up. And Paul calls him out. I don't know if you've ever been called out in front of a big group of people, but it is not fun. It is not fun, right? And so Paul calls him out on his hypocrisy, on the fact that his actions don't match his beliefs. He says, "Peter, how could you act this way? You're acting like these people need to act like you and look like you and think like you to be accepted by Jesus. And that's just not true. That is a lie." He says, "Peter, you're not living like the gospel is true. The way you're living is saying that Jesus didn't really die for everyone, but only for some people that look like you. He's not walking in the truth of the gospel." So if the gospel, the good news, if it's like a path, then what Peter was doing was not on the path. It was not true. And if it's not in the truth of the gospel, that means it's a lie. So he calls Peter out. He's like, "You are not living in the truth. Your actions aren't the truth. Your decisions aren't the truth. Your behavior's not the truth. And that's a problem. You're not living like Jesus." This is a problem for somebody that says they're a follower of Jesus. John puts it like this. In 1 John, he says, "Whoever says he abides in him," Jesus, "ought to walk in the same way in which he," Jesus, "walked." So in other words, he says, hey, if you're gonna follow Jesus, if you're gonna say you're a Christian, you need to act like you're actually trying to follow Jesus. If you're going to say that I walk with Jesus, I'm trying to live like Jesus, then you need to actually live like Jesus. So how did Jesus live? How did Jesus walk? Well, he befriended and loved all people. He talked to them and he ate with them and he healed them and he encouraged them and he corrected them. And ultimately he died for them and rose for them, for all people. So Christians walk like Jesus walked, which means that Christians love people that look different than us, that think different than us, because Jesus loved people and ultimately died for people that looked different than him. And this idea of walking like Jesus, learning to walk like Jesus, him being our example, it had me thinking about when I've seen little kids learning how to walk. Have you seen this happen ever? Maybe you have like a little sibling or a cousin or something like that, right? So you see it happen, like first, maybe, and it's a cute and funny thing because they're just like, what are these things? Like they're discovering their legs. They're like, this is so much faster than crawling. And so they kind of start, right, by like kind of being held up and kind of getting bounced by like their parent or their grandparent or something. And they're just kind of like learning. They're like, what are these little guys at the bottom of me? And they're learning, like, this is kind of amazing. And then they start to do that thing where their parent kind of like holds them up by their arms and they just kind of look like this. And then their feet are on their parents' feet, right? And they're just kind of walking like this with stilts and they're like, oh my gosh, I am so fat, I am speed. Like, and they're just kind of doing this, right? And it's amazing. And then they start to get a little bit better even. And they're walking behind their parents and they're kind of like trying to put their feet about where their parents' feet are. And then they get just better at it and they're falling all the time, right? Like they're just one big knee scab for like a year because they're just not good at walking. They're falling all the time, but they're learning to walk by looking at their parents. They're learning to walk by watching their parents walk. And it's the same thing with Jesus. We learn to walk like Jesus by looking at Jesus. We as followers of Jesus are called to walk like Jesus and look at him in how and to learn how we should walk, just like a little kid is learning from their parents. So this means that we love and we befriend people that look different than us or have different clothes than we do or don't have as much money or more money than we do. It means that all people should be loved by us as Christians because Jesus was loved by all people. It means that we don't stand for when people are treated badly or negatively simply because they look different than us, right? You don't have to look far to see that that's an evil thing. And sometimes that's been done and even been done this year. And Christians, there's just no room for that in the gospel. There's no room for judging people or looking down on people because they look different than you or have a different skin color than you simply because of that. There's no room for that in the gospel. There's zero, none. It is a lie. It is not in the truth of the gospel. And it's the job of Jesus followers to not only lift up other people that are following with us when they've been hurt by something that has been said or they're being judged because of the way they look or things that are out of their control. It's our job to remind them of what is true, but also it's our job to call that lie out and correct people that are following Jesus when they aren't walking like Jesus, when they aren't doing the things that Jesus did. See, we can be guilty of thinking that we're better than somebody or we're more deserving of the love of Jesus than somebody simply because our skin color is different than theirs. And that's just a lie. That's what Peter was doing and that's what we can sometimes do. And it's a lie. There's just no room for it. Or we might be guilty of having seen it happen and doing nothing or having heard somebody say something and doing nothing. We just don't let that happen. Boys, please stop talking. Cooper, thank you. It's a lie. It's a lie directly against the work of Jesus because it says that those other people, they need to do a little bit more to make Jesus love them. Jesus loves me, I'm fine, I'm good, but they need to do a little bit more. Jesus didn't fully die for them because they are different from me. We're trying to add to the work of Jesus, and that's not what the path of the gospel is about. And so we don't believe that and we tear that lie down. We don't allow it. And we also follow Paul's example for when somebody that we see that's following Jesus starts to do that. When they start to act not like Jesus, we call them out and we try and correct them and encourage them. Right? Like if you're going hiking with a friend or something and they go off the path and they start to go towards some jagged rocks or some sharp thorns or they go towards a cliff, like you're not just gonna stand there and be like, you know, it would be an inconvenience for me to say something right now. Yeah, I don't want them to get mad at me. I don't want to ruffle any feathers. Like, they'll figure it out, right? Like, Jesus loves you. Like, it's going to be okay. No, you wouldn't do that if they were walking towards a cliff. That'd be mean. You'd be a terrible friend. You would never do that. You'd say, hey, come back. Come back. It's so much better on the path. This is so much better. And that's what we as followers of Jesus are called to do, are called to bring people that are not walking in the truth of the gospel into the truth of the gospel. So you, fifth and sixth grader, walk in the truth of the gospel. Walk in the truth that God has made, has designed and created and made all people in his image. All people. And so we don't walk in the lie that some people are better than others simply because they look different or they have different interests or they have different clothes than we do. No, that's just a lie. We don't stand for that. Paul puts it like this in Galatians chapter 3. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So let's walk in the truth of the gospel. Walk in the truth of Jesus. Walking, knowing that God has made all skin colors and all cultures and all languages and all ethnicities, and that we are in Jesus united by a bond that tells us that we are loved, that we are paid for, that we are bought with the price of Jesus on the cross, regardless of what we look like. And that is the good news that we are called to walk in. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your good news. Help us to walk and live in such a way that we honor that good news. Help people to see us and know that we are living in the truth. And Father, help us to repent when we don't. Father, we love you and we trust you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thanks again for checking out this podcast from Christ Church of Ornogo. We hope that this teaching is helping you discover completeness in Jesus and encourages you to help others do the same. If you're interested in learning more about Christ Church, visit us online at cco.church.